Father, we thank you for our church. We thank you for the fun. We thank you for just being here together, one another. Lord, we thank you that you're here in our midst. That's the whole purpose of being here today. So we thank you, Lord, that you love us and care for us. We thank you that you've given us your word. And as we open it this morning, just pray that you would just reveal something to us this morning that you want us to hear as a church and as individuals. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in a series titled What God Can Do Through Ordinary You. We've been looking at the characters from Hebrews chapter 11, a list of ordinary people who achieved extraordinary things. Now the sermon titles through this so far has been, Who Me? Just this whole thing of God can do extraordinary things through me, who me? The second one was Pick Me, as we started to realise that perhaps we need to put our hand up and allow God to use us. Last week we had Shape Me. We talked about being stronger people and we need to shape. We need to get into shape, spiritual shape, and God can do extraordinary things through us. Now today we are looking at a person by the name of Jabez. You won't find Jabez in the Hebrews list. You will find him in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verses 9 to 11. Now 1 Chronicles, the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles is riveting reading. It's 9 chapters of genealogy. It's sort of the section you're working through, and you know, Chronicles is quite interesting as you work through it, and you get to 9 chapters of genealogy, and you get to chapter 10. So 9 chapters of genealogy, so-and-so is the father of so-and-so, so-and-so is the father and so-and-so, the father of so-and-so, etc., etc. And there's 9 chapters, and there's about 600 names in this list. And right in the middle of these 600 names is Jabez. So I'm going to read this. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. There was a man named Jabez who was more distinguished than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and extend my lands. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him his request. Out of all these 600 people, Jabez is the only one that gets any comment on his life. So what's so special about Jabez that makes him stand out in a crowd of 600 people? We're going to think about that today. Just 2 verses of Jabez's life, we're going to learn how to live above average. And the sermon title today is Bless Me. If you're going to live above average, you need to raise your sights. I'm talking about dreams and possibilities, something to aim for, something to strive for, something to challenge you beyond the ordinary. Jabez said, talking to God, I want you to enlarge my property portfolio, in our language. He was saying to God, I don't want to be ordinary. And we're going to get to a little bit later on. He's saying, I don't want to be ordinary. Here I am, ordinary old me. God, I don't want to be ordinary anymore. God, I want you to do something significant with my life. So he was asking for larger land holdings, but in that culture, he was land holdings and large land holdings. It was a sign of wealth, so he was asking for wealth, influence, and social standing. A lot of property in that culture meant that you were wealthy, you were influential, and people recognized you. So this is what he's asking for. Lord, make my property portfolio bigger because I want wealth, influence, and social standing. Now, Proverbs 29, verse 18, we know this. This is a verse we might not know the reference, but we've heard this over and over and over again. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And many people just drift through life with no goals, no ambition, no aims, no desires. Many churches drift through life with no goals, no ambition, no aims, and no desires. Many ministries drift through life with no goals, no ambitions, no aims, no desires. We just keep turning up. Jabez decided that he didn't want to be that. He was that, and he decided he didn't want to be that anymore. He had a dream for his life, and he said, I want to do better than the cards that my life has dealt me. And as a man of faith, he was prepared to ask God to help him in that vision. And there is nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all. And this whole series is about challenging ourselves to look beyond the ordinary. What can God do through ordinary you? What could God do through ordinary you? Well, if God's going to do something through ordinary me, we need to look beyond the ordinary to something to aspire to. What can God do through ordinary you? Well, it's absolutely nothing if we don't raise our sights and we don't give God a chance to work in you and through you to do some amazing things. Now, there's three misconceptions that generally hold Christians back in thinking about all of this. We confuse humility with fear. We often say, oh, I could never do anything like that. You know, it's just little old me. You know, God would never use little old me for anything out of the ordinary. Well, phrases like that, they're often code, and they're usually code for, I'm too scared to have a go. We're pretending we're humble, but we're really just fearful. We're fearful to step into something beyond the ordinary because often we just don't know what it is. Humility does not say, I can't do it. Humility never says, oh, I can't do it. Fear says, I can't do it. Humility says, with God's help, I can do it. With God's help, I can do it. That's humility. The second thing, we often confuse contentment with laziness. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, I've learned to be content in every situation. So contentment is a biblical idea. It's something that we should aspire to in our lives, that we're content people, not stressed people, not striving for things that are just beyond, that just, you know, we want to keep up with the Joneses. That's not contentment. We want to be like the Kardashians. That's not contentment. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content in every situation. Some people think, well, that means that you shouldn't have any goals. You shouldn't be striving for anything. But that is not what Paul is saying. Paul was a man of enormous vision. The Apostle Paul, he had the whole world in his sights for Jesus. That was his vision. That was his mission. That was his goal in life, that every single person in the then known world would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And his deep desire was that every single person would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So he had a vision, he had a goal, he had big things that he was aiming for. He was not content to do nothing. He was content in whatever life brought him while he was striving towards the goal. I've learned to be content whether I've got stacks of stuff, stacks of money, or none. I've learned to be content whether I've got food on the table or I've got none. But in all of that, he was striving towards this enormous vision that he had. And the third thing is that we confuse small thinking with spirituality. I'm more spiritual if I think small. I'm more spiritual if I don't rock the boat. I'm more spiritual if I just sit around and pray. Well, I just serve the Lord in my small way, is a phrase that often gets thrown around in church. Moses was content to serve the Lord in his small way by being a shepherd on his uncle's sheep farm. He was pretty happy with that life. He'd found a wife. He was all settled. He was pretty content in all of that. In his small way, he was serving God. But God said to Moses, stop serving me in your small way and serve me by bringing my people out of Egypt and all that entailed. We know the story. I serve God in my small way. Well, small thinking is not spiritual maturity. See, what can God do through ordinary you? Well, not much unless you raise your sights from the ordinary. Not much if you're just happy to sit and be ordinary. The second thing to help you live above average is that you need to exercise faith. We've only got two verses about the life of Jabez. We don't know much about him. We don't know anything apart from this couple of verses. That's the only thing we know about Jabez. We don't know if he's educated. We don't know if he's got some special abilities. But what we do know is that he's got faith. This man has got faith. When it comes to doing things for God, it's not education, it's not talent, it's not family background. That's the key. It is faith that is the key for serving God. It's believing that God can do amazing things in and through your life. It's a belief that God can do something in you and through you in your Christian life. It's a belief that somewhere between doing something and doing amazing, we're in there somewhere. But God can use us to do things that when you're just sitting back doing nothing, it's never going to happen. Now, the name Jabez literally means painful. That was his name. So we talk, my name's Greg. How, Greg, how are you going? You know, good to see you, Greg, all that sort of stuff. It's a, you know, it's a name. But in that culture, their names had a meaning. And Jabez's name meant painful. Verse 9, his mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. What sort of mother was that? How would you like to have had that name? Hey, painful, do you want to come and play? Here comes old pain in the neck. And it's highly likely, if you're thinking through that just a little bit more, it's highly likely that poor old Jabez had an emotional hang-up with his whole life. Why does he call out to God and say, God, I don't want to be ordinary? Why does he do that? Because his life, his name, he had to live up to nothing. Nothing. He was nothing. He was a pain. That's all he was in his community. He was just painful. That's who he was. If that's the case, it's no wonder he called out to God, Lord, I don't want to be a laughingstock anymore. God, I don't want to be known as a pain. I want to break free from the label and expectations that everybody's put on me. And Jabez knew that the only way out of his situation was by the hand of God. He couldn't do much about it because the whole community was pushing him down. But God could do the impossible. And he knew that. That's where his faith came in. Why pray to God if you don't think that God can change your circumstances? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God can do immeasurably more than we can imagine. Immeasurably. Think about the word immeasurably more than we can even imagine. God can do 10 times more than we can imagine. Well, that's measurable, isn't it? It's 10 times. God can do a million times more. That's enormous. That is so big. God can do a million times more than we think he can. That's measurable. It's a million times. It's measurable. God can do immeasurably more than we can imagine. The Holy Spirit at work within us can help us do immeasurably more than we think he can. God can lift us out of the ordinary. With his sights raised and a growing faith, Jabez could break out of the ordinary and live above average. And the third thing that you need to live above average is that you need a genuine prayer life. You need a genuine prayer life. When we look at these two verses about Jabez, we could think, whew, what a cheek. What a cheek. What right has he got to ask for what he asked for? Make me wealthy, make me influential, give me a grand reputation. Fancy coming to God and asking for this kind of blessing in his life. Well, the Bible says, why not? Why not? The end of the story, the end of these couple of verses, is that Jabez prayed and God answered his prayer. God answered his prayer. This huge thing that he wanted in his life. I'm sick of being ordinary. I just want to lift up. God, give, just extend my reputation. Extend my wealth. Extend who I am. He had the courage to get specific about asking, and God saw fit to grant his request. Did you know that there's over 20 times in the New Testament that we are told to ask God for things? We are told to ask God for things. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask. Ask and you'll be given. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ask that your joy may be full. See, all of these passages are invitations by God to ask for things. It's an invitation. It's God saying, please, please ask. James chapter 4 verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. It seems to me that many of us don't experience God's blessing in our lives simply because we don't ask. Now, I know what you're thinking. I'm just going to put a little disclaimer here. Some would use those passages to justify a theology of prosperity. God says ask, he will give it. So I'm asking for $1 million, God has to give it. Okay? I do not agree with that at all. James chapter 4 verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask God. Verse 3, the very next verse, explaining a little bit more, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. So there's reasons why God won't answer your prayer, but the invitation is, well, ask. You don't have because you don't ask. There's no guarantee that our asking will ensure that we receive, but it seems that our not asking will guarantee that we don't receive. Ministry leaders, what are you praying about your ministry? Are you asking God to expand the influence of your ministry? Are you asking God to take it to places and touch lives that you never thought possible? Untitled youth, what are you praying for your youth group? Please stop praying, God, give me a game that we can play on Friday night. You can pray that on Thursday night when you're not real sure about what Friday's doing. But don't make that your prayer. Don't make that your overarching prayer for untitled youth. Pray to God. Pray something like, God, pray that more kids will come. God, pray that the kids that we've already got will give their life to Jesus and become mature followers of Jesus and take their place in our church and become the leaders of our church to take us to places that we've never been before. That's the sort of prayer that we need to pray for our youth. Cam, I'm challenging you. Pray big prayers for the untitled youth. And everybody else who's supporting Cam, that's all of us, pray big prayers for Cam and the untitled youth. Young adults, what are you praying for your ministry? Playgroup, what are you praying for your ministry? Gardeners, what are you praying for your ministry? Sunday school, what are we praying for the Sunday school ministry? Most of them are out there doing it at the minute. But, John, yep, you get them out there and you tell them, next time you're having a meeting, what are we praying for? Are we praying for the ordinary? Are we praying for what we've done year after year after year after year after year after year? And here we are, we're still just ordinary. Are we prepared to pray big prayers and ask God's blessing in ways that we've never seen? Are we prepared to pray to God, God, just bring more people into the life of our church. Lord God, bring people in who are going to hear the gospel, who are going to give their life to Jesus. God, pray a prayer that says, God, we've got to knock the wall down and extend the building to fit everybody in. Whatever it takes, stop praying small prayers. Stop praying for ordinary and let's start praying for amazing. Why not? We're invited to. If we're praying with the right motives, I think God's going to get behind that a bit and we're going to see some things that, well, we haven't seen it because we've just been happy with ordinary. What about your own personal lives? What about your own personal lives? What are you praying for your family? Ordinary? or extraordinary? What are you praying for your workplace? Ordinary or extraordinary? What are you praying about your career? Ordinary or extraordinary? What are you praying about your leisure time? Ordinary or extraordinary? What are you praying about your finances? Ordinary or extraordinary? Too often we think that God's only really interested in the things we pray for church life. Too often we think God's only interested in, well, let's get people saved and let's have enough finances to run the church and the sin of our lives. Let's pray about those things. They're the important things. No. God is interested in every single part of our lives. Don't be afraid to pray for anything and everything. From birth, Jabez was dealt a rotten hand. The minute his mother named him, he was on the back foot. He was dealt a rotten hand. And Robert Louis Stevenson, he said, "Life does not consist of having a good hand at cards, but of learning how to play a poor hand well." Life does not consist of having a good hand at cards, but of learning how to play a poor hand well. And Jabez was dealt a poor hand. But he knew that in the game of life, an essential part of playing the game of life is praying. And he lived above average. That's what those couple of verses tells us. Out of 600 people, Jabez is singled out as a person that God blessed in enormous ways. Because he dared to raise his sights, because he exercised his faith, and because he had a genuine prayer life. It's our challenge this morning, folks. It's our challenge this morning to get on board with what God invites us to get on board with. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we think about your word, we think about this little tiny story, a couple of verses, about a man who dared to dream, about a man who dared to ask, and about a man whose prayers were answered in amazing ways. And Lord, I pray for us as a church that we might learn to pray big, that we might learn to pray beyond the ordinary, that we might learn to pray and ask for extraordinary things. Lord, I pray for each one here and the families that we represent, that we might be able to, as individuals as well, just learn to call on you and to learn to pray. And again, just to learn to ask for things that we've never thought possible in our lives. Lord, you invite us to ask, and we do have the disclaimer that there's no guarantees in our life of how you're going to answer that. But Lord, help us just to be a little bolder in prayer. Help us to be a little bolder in our expectations. Lord, help us to be a little bolder in what we think that you can do. And Lord, I pray that as we do that, we might see things change. We might see the church moving on and developing in the way that you want it to. We might see things changing in our families, that relationships might be restored. That some of those things are broken and they need to be fixed. Lord, I pray that as we think about our finances in difficult financial circumstances at the minute, it's getting harder. Lord, I pray that you would bless us in that way. We'd keep our head above water. That we as a church might be able to support one another and be the church. Those who have plenty might be able to give to those who don't have much. And Lord, I pray that as we raise our sights and think beyond the ordinary, that not too far down the track, we'd be here again, giving thanks and amazed at what you've been doing, with an expectation that you're going to continue to do it. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.